It's time now for KJAN's Heartbeat Today, daily program focusing on the people, places, and events that make the Nishina Valley a special place. Today's edition of Heartbeat Today is brought to you by Camblin Plumbing and Heating in downtown Atlantic. Here at this morning's program is your host, Jim Field.
Hi, Chris. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Not too bad. A little breezy outside, but otherwise, 53 degrees this morning. Doesn't look like it's going to be too bad a day.
Yeah, not too bad.
Actually, it doesn't look like it's going to be too bad another week or so. Looks like we're going to get about another week of pretty decent weather.
Yeah. Temperatures, especially towards the end of the weekend, early next week, look pretty good again.
Yeah, we really kind of needed this stretch after that little stretch of rain we had earlier. It's, you know, not just for the guys working out in the field, but for all of us. Mm-hmm. Need that, get that psyche straightened out again. Besides, it's no fun this year if the leaves change color while they're laying on the ground because the rain knocked them all out of the tree. That's no fun. You just got to pick them up. How's Brett this morning?
Oh, I guess ready for the weekend.
Really?
Yeah, you betcha.
Big plans?
No.
No.
just ready for the weekend.
Just turn the phone off, feet up on the ottoman.
Phone's never off, so.
Yeah, I know. You just can't get away from work, can you? Tell us about Camblin Plumbing and Heating.
Sterling tubs and showers are made with you in mind. Many of their styles have soap shelves, non-slip floors, and sizes to fit most applications. Their remodeler units allow us to take practically any situation and make it better. Camblin Plumbing and Heating has carried Sterling now for several years, and we're very pleased not only with their quality, styles, and ease of installation, but also with the competitive pricing that they offer to you, the ultimate consumer. Shop Camblin Plumbing and Heating for all your bathroom remodeling needs and get discount pricing every day. Stop in and see us at 307 Chestnut in Atlantic or 1013 7th Street in Harlan.
Very good. Thank you, Brett. If you've been paying attention to the news lately, there's probably a word that you've been hearing a lot of lately. Maybe you never paid much attention to it in the past. The word Ebola.
Yeah.
It's all over the news, obviously, and for good reason. It should be. Now, should we be running afraid of what's going on? Well, I don't know. I guess that's up to you. I'll let you make your own decision on stuff like that. But I just got to thinking the other day that, you know, we hear about it. Do we educate ourselves really much about it? Do we know that much? And when I say we, I mean those of us who aren't in the medical profession. Of course, the medical professionals know plenty. But what have you done to educate yourself at all? You know, when it was just something that was overseas on a different continent, I guess we kind of looked at it as being isolated. It's not a problem for us. But then all of a sudden, not only did we have one, but now many, and now there's, you know, a healthcare worker who was infected, and not only that, but she took 6 airplane flights a few days afterward, back and forth to different locations. And then we hear that there's a possible case in Kansas City, Kansas. All of a sudden, something like that that we thought of as being on another continent gets a whole lot closer to home, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So maybe you should start thinking a little bit about that. You know, we're in the point of this year, of the year now, where a lot of folks start thinking about other viruses, like the flu virus, which is something you should not neglect either. But what about the Ebola virus? Well, I was looking up on the CDC website, and I know some people are going to criticize the CDC a little bit these days, too, if you get into the politics of it. Some folks are happy, some not happy with the response and whatever. But aside from that, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has a little bit of information about everything that's there, because you should educate yourself on these types of things. And it gets a little bit technical, but Ebola was previously known as Ebola hemorrhagic fever. Because do you really know what it does? If someone gets Ebola, do you know what happens? I mean, most of us realize that, well, they're going to die. But do we know much about it? Well, it's a rare, deadly disease. It's caused by infection with one of the Ebola virus strains. Ebola can cause disease in humans and non-human primates, like monkeys and gorillas and chimpanzees. It's caused by an infection. And again, it's got a lot of big words and technical stuff here, too. But there are 5 different Ebola virus species, 4 of which are known to cause disease in humans. Now, Ebola viruses, it says, are found in several African countries. Ebola first discovered in 1976 near the Ebola River in what is now the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And since then, outbreaks have appeared sporadically in Africa. Now, the natural reservoir host of Ebola virus remains unknown. However, on the basis of evidence and the nature of similar viruses, researchers believe that the virus is animal-borne and that bats are the most likely reservoir. 4 of the 5 virus strains occur in an animal host native to Africa. You know, bats can, they carry rabies, but they don't get it. So now you're telling me that they also carry Ebola but don't actually get sick from it. Bats are just kind of like a wasteland, aren't they?
Yeah.
But what about signs and symptoms? I mean, do you know much about it? Because we hear about people coming down or getting sick. Well, you know, some of the signs and symptoms of Ebola are going to be some of the same signs and symptoms of a lot of things. You know, fever is a symptom for darn near everything that you can get. But if you have a fever greater than 101.5 or severe headaches, muscle pain, weakness, diarrhea, vomiting, abdominal pain, and unexplained hemorrhaging, bleeding, or bruising. And they say the symptoms may appear anywhere from 2 to 21 days after exposure to Ebola, but the average is 8 to 10 days. And they say that recovery from Ebola depends on good supportive clinical care and the patient's immune response. People who do recover from Ebola infection develop antibodies that last for at least 10 years. Now, how do they go about diagnosing Ebola? Well, in a person who's been affected for only a few days, they say diagnosis is difficult because the early symptoms, you know, like fever, are nonspecific to Ebola infection. They're often seen in patients with other more commonly occurring diseases. However, if a person has the early symptoms of Ebola and has had contact with the blood or the body fluids of a person who's sick with the disease, then contact with objects that have been contaminated with the blood or the body fluids of a person sick with Ebola, or contact with infected animals, then they should be isolated and public health professionals notified right away, and then they'll do sample testing and different things to go through there. So within a few days after the symptoms begin, they'll go through a number of different tests, and they outline some of those, which is really not something that we need to talk too much about here, because it's, well, because I'm not sure I can pronounce some of those words. Medical terms, you know. But what about treatment? You know, what does someone go through? What kind of treatment do they go through if they do come down with something like Ebola? Well, there is no FDA-approved vaccine or medicine available for Ebola. So the symptoms of Ebola are treated as they appear, and they list some basic interventions, which, when used early, can significantly improve the chances of survival. One of those is providing intravenous fluids. They help to balance the electrolytes, the body salts. They also maintain oxygen status and blood pressure, and then they treat other infections if they occur. Now, the experimental vaccines and treatments for Ebola are under development, but they've not been fully tested for safety and effectiveness quite yet. The CDC says that recovery from Ebola depends on good supportive care and, of course, the patient's immune response. People who recover from Ebola infection develop antibodies that last for at least 10 years and possibly longer. Now, it isn't known if people who recover are immune for life, or if they could become infected with a different species of Ebola. Some people who have recovered from Ebola have developed long-term complications like joint and possibly even vision problems. Now, what about prevention? We mentioned there's no FDA-approved vaccine available for the Ebola virus. So they suggest that if you're traveling or you're in an area affected by Ebola outbreak, you should do some different things, and one of them is practicing careful hygiene. Wash your hands with soap and water or an alcohol-based hand sanitizer. And avoid contact with blood and body fluids and things like that. And there are other things down the road here, too, that, you know, if you're in those areas that you can do. And they also list several things that healthcare workers can do as well to help themselves if they're in those situations. But the risk of exposure, you know, because that's what a lot of people now are starting to be concerned about, as I said up front. While it was just something that was on another continent, we didn't really think about it as something that was really our problem. Well, now, all of a sudden, it is something that we should probably be concerned about. Not, you know, you don't want to want people running through the streets scared to death, but, you know, you need to be alert and concerned about these things and be aware of what's going on. And the Ebola viruses are found in actually several African countries now. We've seen a number of outbreaks in some of those West African nations. But all cases of human illness or death from Ebola have occurred in Africa, with the exception of several laboratory contamination cases and things, and there have now started to be some here in the United States, too. One travel-associated case was diagnosed, of course, here in the United States in September, and then in October, yet this month, earlier this, actually this week, a healthcare worker at Texas Presbyterian Hospital who provided care for the patient has been tested positive for Ebola. And the CDC confirms that the healthcare worker is positive. Now, healthcare providers who are caring for Ebola patients and their family and friends in close contact with Ebola patients, of course, would be at highest risk of getting sick because they do come in contact with that. But, of course, the risk for exposure lessens as long as they take proper measures. As I say, right now they're kind of concerned about that one patient who had hopped on a plane after seeing some early symptoms, and who knows how many people may have come in contact there, but they're working to make sure that those types of things don't happen again. You know, as with anything, when you have something like this that comes up that's new, you're trying to figure things out on the fly. And sometimes mistakes are made and what have you. Just hope some of those mistakes aren't the devastating kind. So we'll see what they continue to do, but it's probably worth educating yourself. And also right now, you know, if you want to help yourself out a little bit during the season as we do spread germs around, flu shot might not be a bad idea either, because I think that should be a major concern for folks this time of the year as well. But as always, wash your hands. Soap and hot water. Three important words. Soap, hot water. Okay? Remember those. That'll help yourself for a lot of those germs and infections that we tend to spread amongst ourselves as we get closer together here in the cold weather months. And you might want to, you know, clean that air filter, too, or change that air filter. Keep your surroundings a little cleaner.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, all those things. Yeah.
Chris, how'd your hygiene lesson go? Did you get that today?
Are you good?
Yeah, good.
Did I just see you run off to the bathroom to wash your hands?
Yeah.
Yet he's still talking into the same microphone that we all speak into. Huh? Brett, tell us more about Camlin's.
A Lennox air-to-air heat pump could be your best friend this winter. It's warm, eco-friendly, doesn't make hardly any noise, and can be very cool during the summer months. On top of that, it will work very hard to save you many dollars in energy costs. Camlin Plumbing and Heating are pros at installing an air-to-air heat pump, and in most situations, we can adapt one of these state-of-the-art units to your present furnace. With seven different models to choose from, we can help you get just the right unit that fits your needs and budgets. With the warranties and competitive pricing and quality that we've all come to respect, Lennox air-to-air heat pumps are the best bet for investing in your money to give you a good return. Give us a call in Atlantic at 243-1512 or in Harlan at 755-3286. The thought of the day today comes to us from Chinese proverb, "He who asks is a fool for 5 minutes, but he who does not ask remains a fool forever."
True story. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate that very much. Hey, you got to make it a great day, and God bless America.